As I mentioned, we're so thankful for Brother and Sister Grant. She's, of course, not able to be here. She's back home in Quebec City. But he is, I didn't know this till last night. He told me back in, 2007, maybe y'all are six, y'all released an album. So he and his wife have an album that they have done together. That's back in the days when they actually made CDs. He's going to come today. He's going to sing before he preaches. Then he's going to open the word of the Lord. Why don't you just remain standing as you welcome Brother Grant back to this pulpit today.
I'm so used to waiting on the sound crew. I'm of all things that I am, I'm not technologically advanced. But you can be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen. He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. God, be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change. Be still.
Why don't you just stand with me and lift your hands and hearts in His direction? We're already there. The Lord's moving among us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, Father, for your greatness. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Amen. 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 Stillness is the environment of love. Stillness is the environment of love. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone say love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. You know, Elder, I have believed this new birth message for since I was 10, so right around 48 years. But it's only recently I feel like that the Lord has given me a revelation of the connection, His connection to us with the new birth and love. He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to let you sit in a second, but I got to stand the rest of the way, so be patient with me. Jason, we know that as we're repented of our sins and been buried in His name and been filled with His Spirit, that we enter His kingdom. And we love that, and it's true. But we don't just enter His kingdom, we enter into His family, and as His sons and daughters, we are loved. And that love changes everything. That love changes everything. Todos. Duchos. Don't mind me, I'm so used to going back and forth in language, I don't think about it. Anyone who does not, verse 8 says, love God, does not know God. Because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In other words, you could look at Jesus walking in the earth at that moment and say, see Him? That shows you how much He loves us. See Jesus? See that man walking with His disciples, Pastor? That man loves us. God loves us, and the expression of His love is found in the man, Christ Jesus. In this is love. He sent His only Son, I don't think I read the last phrase, sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Everyone say, so that we might live through Him. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. It's such a privilege to be here. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Now, that big word there, propitiation, really is just He took His place for us. He took our place. He became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you want to put it even more plain, He traded places with us. I deserve to die for my sins, but Jesus died for me. You deserve to die in your sins because of your sins, but He died first for all of us. Amen. I love this. He says it over and over again in John. Beloved. Look at your neighbor and say, beloved. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides. There's that word again, Pastor. God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Amen.
God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you, and I will make my place inside of your life with my love. And as you live through me, allowing my love to fill you as one who I love, then you become all that I've called you uniquely to become. I want to just preach for a little while on this subject. Known and loved. Known, you could say, and beloved. Because I feel like sometimes that we've looked through the filter of our own human life experiences and treated the Father in keeping with what we've gone through in our earthly relationships. And I don't know about some of you. All I know is my own story and its completeness. And I realized that I did not have the view of my Heavenly Father that I should have had. I was sitting in one of my master's classes, and the teacher was talking about how we perceive the Father, the image that we have in our head of who he is and how much he loves us. And it was weird because it's an academic moment, but I'm sitting in this class, elder, and I realize in a flash there's this image of me with my hands like this. And I feel like the Lord speaks to me on the deep inside. You know what I'm talking about? When there's this nudge from the Lord inside of you. And he asked me the question. He said, why is your first perception of me punitive? Why is your first anticipation of me towards you punishment? Why are you thinking that somehow when I come close, your first instinct is to protect yourself from me? I don't know who needs to hear this today, but I want to tell you unequivocally, you do not have to worry about the Lord's intentions as he comes near. He's not here to punish you. He's here to love you. He's not here, and this is where I got it from. I had a dad. I still have a dad. He and I have a great relationship in adulthood. It wasn't so great in childhood. His adulthood, my childhood. He came into my life. I came into his life in 1967. He was an army soldier to the core. I would come home and he would be cleaning out his machine gun. You know, little things like that that you knew you were in the army, right? And so it was kind of one of those deals where he told me I loved him when I was born, and I never heard it again for a long, long time. In fact, I remember going to him at a meeting that we were attending together, and I felt the boldness to say it in the power of the Spirit, and I said, Dad, I know you love me, but it wouldn't hurt for me to hear it every once in a while. And when I would get mouthy, I know you have a hard time thinking that I could be mouthy. This extrovert that talks at the drop of a hat. My dad was a quiet introvert. And when I would lose it a little too much and say just a little bit more than I should have said, then this big, meaty army hand would come over the seat in our station wagon. We mostly drove station wagons. And it would whack me in the side of the face. It didn't happen a lot. I never considered it abusive in the sense that most of the time I got what I deserved and probably should have had a little bit more. But unconsciously, I took over that filter of the Father into my human mind and heart until my first anticipation of God was actually keeping me from closeness with him. I couldn't know him like he wanted me to. I couldn't love him like he desired me to because I had a broken filter of who he was. And I want to tell somebody today that he has come with his love to know you. And as you let him know you on the inside of who you are, he will bring healing to the broken parts of your life that need his hand.
I would just say this to you, that there's no one of us in this room that doesn't have broken parts. The reality of our lives in living and being around other people who are broken is that we come into who we are with Him broken, with pieces that need to be put back together. But I'm here to tell somebody that He can be known and you can be known by Him. He can be known and you can be known by Him. And when you take away the filter, when you take away the hesitancy, when you take away the frustration and let the love wash away the fear, then He will abide in you and lead you like you've never been led before. In French, we talk about that scripture in John that says that perfect love will cast away fear. In the French, it says bannir la crainte, which literally means to banish fear. And we are entering into a moment in our world like we never have seen before. And in the moment of all the frustration, the turbulence, and the fear, we've never needed His love to work like we need His love to work today. Listen to John 10 and 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Jesus is talking. And He says, I am known of mine. I know my sheep. The relationship extends to us first. Jesus comes to us with love. And then He deposits that love into us so that that love can flow from us. I don't know your story, Jason, but I'll guarantee you, you're closer to your crew than you've ever been before. Because one who is love has come into your love life to express that love into those that are connected to you. And I would say if there's a witness in the house, we've all encountered that. We've been able to love like we've never been able to love before. Because love came inside of us. One of my favorite verses is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God, the old King James says, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Another version says, it's poured out into us by the Holy Ghost. When He fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're not just filled with a good feeling, but you're filled with His love. And that love wants to go to every part of you on the interior of your life, into your emotions, into your mindsets, into your deep desires. So He shifts you from your focus in trying to please God into a place of love and intimacy where pleasure is in His presence, not in your performance. I think of the discipleship lesson just a while ago, and I think about Mary and Martha. Martha welcomed Jesus into the center of her living space, but then she proceeded to become so busy for Jesus that she ignored Jesus. What? She became so busy for Jesus that she ignored Jesus. And not only that, she thought Jesus was going to take up for her. She walked right to Him and said, "Hey, Lord, don't you see that these people have left me to serve all by myself? Don't want to be all by myself." You're not all by yourself, Martha. Mary's right there. Jesus is right there. He's near with love and words of
Lord, don't you care? Mary's left me all by myself, all alone. And Jesus says, Martha, you're cumbered. You're weighed down. You're under this load of activity, and I want you to be free from it. Not that you won't do the things you need to be done. You'll still have to do the dishes and cook some food and have some meals. That wasn't his point. But the point in that moment is the priority isn't function. You don't need to fall in love with your work if you're in love with your master, if you're in love with your Savior, if you're in love with Jesus. The work will take care of itself, but he wants you to make love the center of your intention. Because when you move and minister out of relationship, it changes everything. When you move and minister out of your marriage, it changes everything. When you move and minister out of his deep knowing of you and his deep love for you, and you let that love absolutely cascade over every part of your life. Remember that old song? Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. Listen, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. How many would admit recently that there's times where you're trying to see things clearly and it's been a little bit cloudy? It's like, man, did you read that news? Have you walked down the path of that particular circumstance? And it's just like, how in the world am I going to see clearly to deal with this? You're seeing dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully. Everyone say know fully. Even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. In French, the word for trust is probably similar to Spanish, and it is similar to the English word confidence. Confiance is the word in French. But trust, confidence rather, in the English has kind of been morphed into this idea of, I've got this. I can do this. You know, full charge ahead. But confidence in the essence of it as a word is trust. It's trust. Telling God everything. Keeping nothing back. Being worried about nothing. Everyone say nothing. Tout le monde dit rien. Nada. Nothing. How in the world can you worry about nothing? By praying, relating to God, everything. Everything. Lord, I just got this phone call, and work is about to go in a place I didn't anticipate. What am I going to do? And the Lord says, you're going to trust me. Lord, I'm reading the news, and this is transpiring, and that's transpiring, and this family's impacted, and that family's impacted. And we say, Lord, what am I going to do? And you're going to say, hey, you're not going to worry. You're not going to stress. You're going to take the worry and take the stress and take the anxiety and take the fear and take the uncertainty to the one who can handle it all. And as Proverbs says, you're going to run into the tower.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous are going to run into it and be safe, because love and faith work together. Relationship and faith work together. And when you trust Him, when you know Him, when you love Him, that relationship of intimacy will inform every footstep. We will fully know God as we are fully known by God. I wonder if you've got something in your life right now that seems like a puzzle. It seems like a confusion. It seems like a conflict. Maybe it doesn't seem like it. It is. People are not shooting real bullets maybe, but there's a lot of firing going back verbally, back and forth. I wonder if there's something in your life like that, if you might lift your hands towards heaven in this moment. And in the stillness of the Lord, where His voice can be free to speak to you, in the stillness of His presence, where love washes fear away, I wonder if you could tell Him something maybe that you've never told Him before. Not because He doesn't know. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But because you haven't told Him, you haven't extended that part of your life to Him. Maybe your trust has been jeopardized or broken and bruised by your circumstances. But I wonder if someone could stand right here in the presence of His love and open your heart to what He's got to say to you. You've heard the report of the doctor, but you don't need to be caught up in the professional report of even those who know what they're talking about. What has the Lord of love got to say to you today? You know the circumstances. You know the situation. You maybe have rehearsed it over and over again in your own human mind. But here today, we are wanting to know Jesus. Father, upon the authority of Your word, and in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to see ourselves as You called over Your own Son in several different places, beloved. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I wonder if some son of Yours, some daughter of Yours, might let go of some of the filters of shame that have come to their life through their own circumstances. And in this moment, trust You like they've never trusted You before. Lord, know us. Musicians, come if you would. Lord, know us in the deep parts of who we are. Lord, help us to know You face to face when the trumpet sounds. I'm looking forward to that. But Lord, let us know You face to face right now. Lord, we can repent now because the kingdom is near, and so is the King. Lord, let us understand that as we turn to face You, Your heart is that of love for Your kids. I'm closing with this quote that you hear John preach, and then you hear Jesus shortly after say the very same thing. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And elder, all my life I thought, repent, because Jesus is coming back. Repent, because Jesus is coming back. And as Pastor said earlier, sometimes you study in a deeper dimension and you realize, wait a second, that was 2,000 years ago. He wasn't talking about when the trumpet sounds. He's saying, turn to Me with all that you've got going, because the kingdom is here. The King is alive, and He wants to take care of it all. Jesus wants, as you turn to Him, you to be known by Him so that you can begin to know who he truly is. And I say that to me, not just to you, because though I'm 58 and have served the Lord a while, there's aspects of my life that I always haven't given him access to. But I wonder, as we begin to pray together, if you would like to turn to him. That's what repentance truly is. It's not just about the stuff you're leaving. Thank God for the stuff you're leaving and the stuff he intends to change. But when you get to where he is and you see the smile on his face, you see the eyes of love that are extended to your heart, you hear the words of comfort that tell you, I've got this. There's nothing you're facing that I'm unaware of. There's nothing you're walking through that I don't have answer for. Somebody just lift your hands up where you are and turn to him and say, Jesus, your kingdom is near. And so I'm turning to you. Father, we turn to you together. This is a prayer of repentance, an awareness that sometimes I, Scott, am guilty of trying to grab the buttons and the levers and to control stuff, like Martha maybe was trying to control her environment by doing things for you. But Lord, I want love to come and challenge all of my apprehensions and wash away all of my fears. Lord, I give you the addictions of my soul, the addictions of my mind. I give you the frustrations and the hurts of my heart. And I pray that you would come in, that you would come in and make yourself known to me. This altar is open if you'd like to come. We're going to pray for you and come alongside of you. And we're going to let the King of Kings, the God of love, be known in a new dimension by you as you trust him, as you yield to him, as you say yes to him. You are known today. You are loved today. Like the prodigal son who returns from the pig pen, his dad meets him from a long ways off, and he runs to where he is, and he covers him with his righteousness, and he restores his feet with some shoes of peace, and he puts a ring of authority on his finger, and he says, you're not a servant, you're a son. And somebody, you just need to know, he doesn't see you though you're serving, and he loves the heart of your service. He doesn't see you as a servant, he sees you as a son. He doesn't see you as a servant, he sees you as a daughter. Yes, you can do the things you do, and he's grateful for the gifts you have. He gave them to you. But love comes to say relationship is the foundation forever for who we are now and moving forward. In the name of Jesus, God bless you.